Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, this is Bryce Henson, CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. And if you want to build better relationships, you should be listening to the Build Your Network podcast.
If you're tired of the old way of networking, the business cards, the awkward conversations, and the aggressive pitches, but you know how crucial your network is to your success in life, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Build Your Network, the only top-rated show committed to helping you master content networking, foster real relationships, increase your authority, and build the network of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class entrepreneurs, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success. So get ready to burn your business cards, ditch the name tag, and discover the new way to network with your host, Travis Chappell.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Build Your Network podcast. Bryce, thanks so much for joining me on today's show.
Eric, super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to chat with you. And we like taking these conversations back to the beginning. And I know you talk about in other interviews, grew up in the Midwest, graduated from the University of Michigan. What was the diploma that you had? What was the degree that you originally got? Was it anything that indicated the path you're on now?
Well, great question. And I will make a small adjustment or a big adjustment there. I went to Michigan State University, not to be confused with the University of Michigan,
gotcha.
Which sometimes it's common, but I'm a proud Spartan at heart. To answer your question, Eric, what I went to school for very loosely has anything actually to do with what I'm doing here today in the fitness industry, being the CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. I got into school originally, I wanted to be a pharmacist. And the only reason I wanted to be, you know, study pharmacology was my mom's best friend's husband was a very successful pharmacy or pharmacology, or I guess pharmacist is the right term for it, but oversaw a lot of a very big chain, a lot of pharmacies. And he did very well financially. And I've always had the interest of being very successful in terms of business and entrepreneurship. So I thought that was my initial go-to, but I jumped into Michigan State my first year and I did chemistry, biology, all the baseline requirements. To do a pre-pharmacology degree. And I passed. I will have your audience know I did pass, but it wasn't pretty. And I very quickly realized that, okay, I would probably want to explore business, sales, marketing, and ended up landing in advertising. So that's what I got my degree in, but ultimately came to California, started in a sales position. And that's actually what led me to where I'm at today.
Yeah. So headed to California, was that purely just to explore more opportunity or did you have a certain job position that opened up that drew you out that direction?
Well, it's both, actually. And you mentioned the Midwest, which is definitely how I identify. But the first 10 years of my life, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. And at the time, it was a tragedy, but it was actually a blessing, but it was disguised as a tragedy. My parents split. My father was an alcoholic, a gambleholic, addiction to drugs. So my mom, thankfully, by the grace of God, got us out of that mess and moved to Michigan. But I think subconsciously, I like the warm weather. So I went kicking and screaming to the north, where winters are very harsh. So I think when I graduated from college, actually the summer before I graduated, I was subconsciously looking for an opportunity for a warmer climate. I've always, you know, dreamt of California. I took a road trip out there when I was my sophomore year of college. And just by a fortuitous situation, I landed an internship at LA, which then, before I graduated school, which then ended up turning into a full-time job. So I actually acquired that position a few months after I graduated, and actually through the power of networking, the CEO of a company called Dream Careers, which is this career development program, which placed me in an advertising internship in LA, which I referred to. I got to meet Eric and really become a friend and really a mentee. And he taught me a lot during the course of the summer. And it was just a fortuitous situation where his company was growing and it was a small company at the time. So there's about 50 students enrolled in the program. So I had the opportunity to kind of stand out, get to know him, connect with him, and actually, you know, based off my network ability that summer is what pulled me out to LA and actually, you know, created a full-time sales position or a job offer, which then I took, you know, a few months after graduating.
Did that feel like a better fit than pursuing being a pharmacist? Did you feel, or did you still feel like you were kind of wandering, trying to figure out what your path was supposed to be?
Well, at that point, if I'm being honest with you, Eric, I was still wondering kind of what my path was supposed to be. I knew the pharmacology play wasn't in the cards. And I figured that out within the first, you know, 6 months of school.
Right.
But when I interned in LA for a company called Chiat Day, which is a large advertising agency, actually the creative director of the agency created the Energizer Bunny the iPod commercials back in the early 2000s. So very, very successful experience and actually tutelage within that firm. I wasn't necessarily sold on advertising, but I enrolled in this career development program. It was called Dream Careers. And the owner of the company basically offered me a role, and it was different than advertising, but it was a sales role. And to your point, I was still kind of figuring out my footing. He offered me a decent salary in Southern California, away from the cold, and I took it. And I think the first few years of that experience really kind of gave me insight to sales and persuasion and connecting and business acumen. So that's kind of when I started kind of developing, you know, my interest within the business world. But to answer your direct question, no. I mean, when I got that job, it was a great opportunity, but I still was trying to figure it out. And I guess to some extent, I still am.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious because there's probably people listening, and I think it's, you know, the self-discovery I think is important and trying to figure out what you're in alignment with and what you believe and those core values. But, you know, there's also something to be said about taking action, even though you're completely unsure of, you know, what the ultimate goal is. Now, what would you say to our audience who maybe they've been spending a lot of time navel gazing, trying to figure out, hey, you know, what am I supposed to do? What's the meaning of my direction? What level of time should you allot to spend on that versus just taking action and testing out a lot of different directions?
I think 25% gazing, and I'm a visionary, so I like to kind of think and contemplate and strategize and kind of what that next step is. But Eric, at the end of the day, there's no feedback in terms of vision and creativity. The only way you're actually going to learn is if you take action, because when you take action, hopefully it's the right decision. But even if it's not, you're going to know relatively soon that, okay, this wasn't actually the path. And then you can course correct. So for me, I like to spend a quarter of my time kind of vision strategizing, but really 75% of my time in action, because that's where the feedback is given. And that's actually where I can get a better understanding of really the ultimate destination I'm looking for.
And importantly, that's where you get to make money to support the navel gazing. So I'm kind of curious, you took a really massive, unique action moving to South America. What kind of prompted that move and what did you learn from that experience?
Eric, man, I really appreciate you. You are well studied on this interview.
You got to do it.
I appreciate it. So when I moved from the Midwest to Southern California, I kind of made that transition. I started career, and I actually had a very successful sales career for the first 8 years. Actually, let me rephrase this. The first year was mediocre at best. Then actually I was introduced to fitness, which actually changed my life. And in year two is when really my sales acumen began. And of course, just a little bit more experience, it became more confident, more energetic, enthusiastic, et cetera. And right about that time, you know, where my sales career was really taking off because of fitness, that foundation, the company I referenced, I work for, had a very lenient vacation policy. So 2 months of the year, we actually got time off. And a colleague in my company, who I'm still very close friends with today, spent half his life in his youth in London, the other in Paris. So he sounds French, but he also sounds English. And that really impressed me. So we ended up starting kind of traveling, going to Europe and Asia, and we landed on South America. And I think in my travels in the first few years, it was really impressive to me, especially meeting my buddy Stefan, who could speak two languages fluently and natively. I also grew up loving Kobe Bryant, and I always thought it was really interesting and really unique and cool, for lack of a better term, that he grew up 6 years of his life in Italy. So he could speak fluent Italian. And after the interview or the game, all the American press would interview him, but the Italian press would wait till the very end, and they'd also interview him, and he would respond in fluent Italian, which I thought was really cool. So I think kind of through that, you know, traveling and exposure and kind of having role model like Kobe and my buddy Stefan, I kind of planted in the back of my mind that I wanted to live in a different country and learn a different language. So when the opportunity came where I visited Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, in the Christmas season of 2008, I kind of already had this foundation of where my mind was, but I didn't really know what country or what language I wanted to learn until I showed up in Rio, and it was just kind of love at first sight. So from that sense of inspiration, I just kind of, again, wanted to take action, develop myself, put myself in a very uncomfortable but very valuable situation. And that's kind of how really that what led me to moving to Brazil, even though strategically, or at least on the surface level, I should say, it made no sense. And my family and friends were scratching their head being like, Bryce, what are you doing and why? So,
Right. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about your takeaways from that experience, but I want to go back to what you said. You said your first year of sales was mediocre, and then you talk about discovering fitness. Do you think it was just the mindset shift that came with getting really involved in fitness? Like, what do you think it was about that that kind of made stuff slip into gear?
Yeah, well, an incredible question. And I think number one, it's the physiology. When you actually, become fit, you feel better, you look better, but that's just surface level. Then you gain more confidence, enthusiasm. I started working out in the morning, so I'd have an increase of energy, and especially in the sales industry. And I think actually it's a law of physics. I think Newton created what stays in motion, a body in motion stays in motion, right?
Right.
A body of rest stays at rest. So in the sales perspective, like, there's always friction in anything. So it's just a matter of making those first handful of sale or calls. And when you make the first handful of calls, then you're inspired to take more calls, and Newton's law of physics kind of takes hold. So I think a variety of things kind of like concluding to really make me an exceptionally better salesman. And that's just not specific to me. I mean, it's really across the board. So a lot of times when clients say, Bryce, I can't afford to get fit, my response is, you can't afford not to get fit because you're leaving money on the table because of the increased productivity that you would have for you and your company.
Right. Yeah. It's like what they always say, the best time to make a sale is after you just made a sale, because you've got that momentum going. You've got there's just something there. The worst time to try to make a sale is when you've not sold three times, four times in a row, and you just feel burnt out, and it just comes across in your normal day to day. I think that's a super, super valuable insight. There's nothing perspective changing more than being outside of the country. I've gotten to travel quite a bit. You know, I've spent time living abroad. I've spent time traveling to various countries, and it changes your perspective in a million different ways. You can't look at politics or business. I lived in India for a couple of months. So I lived there right after getting married, and we lived there, worked at an orphanage there for a couple of months. I've gotten to travel in Europe and South America and all over the place. And it just changes how you view everything. It gives you this extra context for just how you perceive the world. And what were maybe the two or three biggest takeaways that you got from getting to spend time just living in a different location, different setting?
Yeah. Well, Eric, you're spot on. And the fact that you live in India is absolutely incredible. It's on my short list because that's certainly was a game changing experience for you. I think for me, I mean, you hit it. It's the perspective. So, you know, being able to have a different perspective just makes you more valuable in the workplace, in the life place, in the professional space. So that perspective is everything. Going through challenge and struggle, and that's really with fitness or anything in life, actually builds more confidence. So let's face it, you know, after the first 30 days when everything was new and exciting, once that wore off, then the reality sunk in that I'm an island in the south of the world. I know very few people. I cannot speak the language. And I'd be lying to you if I said it was easy and I didn't think about quitting. But at the end of the day, that actually is what builds more grit. It builds more mental fortitude and toughness and actually creates confidence. So I think just the level of confidence that I gained from that experience, you know, was incredible. And then also, you know, owning up and actually executing on a dream, learning a language fluently was to me at that 10 years ago was a thought that like, I'm not good at languages. I can't do this. This is just like out of my source of I guess, possibility. But when you execute something like that, it not only gives you confidence, but it increases your level of fulfillment exponentially. So it just makes you a better person. It makes you a more interesting person. It makes you a smarter person. It makes you a person with more perspective, and it makes you a person with more grit and confidence, because that's what doing hard things does for you.
Right. Yeah. Doing these hard things, building up your own self, really, because building yourself, it's the most important investment you're ever going to make is what can you do to yourself? Coming back to the US with this added perspective, doing all of this work on yourself, and then getting ready to go to that next step in life. You know, you mentioned, you know, you saw a lot of Facebook ads with Bedros Koulian, which in the fitness space, you're going to start seeing those ads. They're going to start finding you. What was it about his brand and that franchise that really stood out to you?
Incredible question. I think, I mean, there's a few things. One, it was the right time, right place. I knew I got on his email list, I think in the beginning of 2010. So when I first started, was exposed to him, I was interested, but it actually wasn't the right time and right place because I was just moving to Brazil. But then when FitBody Bootcamp transitioned from a licensee program to a franchise system, and he started promoting that early 2012, that's when it really, you know, took hold, because I knew I was coming back to California. So that's really when the right time, right place of the opportunity presented itself. It was also something I was very interested in, the fitness space. So for me, I went through my own transformation, as I just shared with you, shortly after moving to California in 2007. And because of a dear friend of mine named Adam, he introduced me to weightlifting, to circuit training, to clean eating, but more importantly, to coaching and accountability. Because Eric, I would like to tell you that I could have done it without him, but I don't know. I can't say that to be certain. So the fact that FitBody Bootcamp had a coaching and accountability model, which was very, very different than the big box gym, It really made me, I guess, realize that if it worked for me, it could work for other people. And then lastly, you know, just being very transparent, I wanted to, you know, jump into a proven model. I was very young at the time. I still am, but I was in my, you know, later mid to late 20s. So I didn't have, well, I had some life experience and I had some sales experience. What I always tell people is, in my sales role, I would, you know, my job was when a call would come in or when I'm making an outbound call, it's really just to convert that person to a sale. Mm-hmm. But when you own a business, which I always had this dream of being an entrepreneur, not only do you have to convert that phone call to a sale, but you actually have to make the person call you to begin with to run the marketing. Then you got to run the operations and you got to run the whole outfit. So I was looking for a model that worked and then some coaching, accountability, and support, because at that time, I certainly didn't have it all figured out, and nor that I do right now. And I'd be lying if I say I did. You know, coming a long ways and having that business acumen over 10 years of business experience is just absolutely game changing. So I think a combination of quite a few things really stuck out to me and really made me take the leap of faith into FitBody Bootcamp back in 2012.
Yeah, it's super important. I mean, I'm 26 right now, you know, and I find myself in this realm where you want to go, you want to be idealistic and say, I want to start this new thing no one's ever heard of, and I'm going to create this. And I think sometimes there's a lot of wisdom in, you know, not necessarily just going with the flow, but stepping into, like you said, a proven system, finding someone who has done it, has had success, and just learning. You know, I think we can all learn from, you know, like Gary Vee when he says you're young. You know, it's true. I mean, there's people that want to go out and totally reinvent the wheel, when sometimes you need to work with someone who's already making it work, learn from them, and you'll know when the time is right to do your own thing or to take that step in that direction. That education is invaluable.
Oh, Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And you have to, you know, have vision and dream and ambition and follow your gut and your heart, but you also have to have a white belt mentality to realize you don't know what you don't know. Right. And a lot of times you need to kind of humble yourself, learn from someone who's been where you want to go. And then from there, you can actually, you know, continue to take action and execute against your dream. So completely with you, Eric.
Well, you know, this show, we talk about networking, obviously, and there's a big jump from being a franchisee to becoming the CEO of a massive company like Fit Body Bootcamp. What was it in your relationship with Bedros coming in as a franchisee, you know, starting at that baseline level where people are coming to the company, to building and developing that relationship, to go to multiple locations, to continue growing? How did that really play out? And how did you get to a position where you stood out in an area where a lot of people would kill to be in the position that you're in now?
Well, thank you. Very, very nice of you to say that. It's probably a loaded question. I can kind of give you some talking points, but it's a story that, you know, continues to evolve. But first and foremost, and Bedros is as well, I consider B one of, we call him B for short, one of the most likable people that I know. He can build rapport very quickly. He likes people, is interested in people. And I have a lot of weaknesses, but one strength of mine is I'm the same way. I'm likable. I'm interested in people. I'm curious. And I just enjoy around being around people. So I think that really helped me in my networking ability. We're also very, very similar in terms of, you know, type A, hard charge driven, kind of dominant type personality. So we really, you know, mesh there a lot. We actually had a very similar but different kind of upbringings, a lot of the same challenges and struggles that we went through. So I think there's a commonality there. I also, you know, took a lot of action against this coaching, for lack of better words. So, you know, again, many times what happens, and not all, you have the high achievers in any brand that take massive action. And then you have the low achievers who like learn the content, or at least are there for the teaching, but don't execute. So because I took action and executed and scaled to a handful of locations within a short period of time, you know, that really helped the cause there. I joined the Fit Body Bootcamp Mastermind Group very early on, within the first month of joining as a franchise. So that helped build the relationship and networking ability there. And then in 2017, which I had no vision that I would actually be working for headquarters one day, and I don't think B did either, but he launched his high-end ticket coaching program called Empire Business or Empire Mastermind. And it was a $50,000 investment, and that's a lot of money for anyone, or for most people, I should say. And it was certainly a lot of money to me now, but a way more amount of money to me at that period of time. But I believed in myself, and I believed in B, that by enrolling in that mastermind, I would basically get more tools, insights, and, you know, connectivity and networking ability to take my business to the next level. I had no idea by joining that would just, again, be another step, another kind of foot forward to building that network, to becoming more successful, and then really to getting to know B in a very deeper level, which ultimately a year later, you know, resulted in him offering me the vice president role, which then turned into the CEO role a few years later.
Yeah. There's something you mentioned there where you just said you took action on the coaching content that he was putting out. And, you know, for the audience, but and I'm sure you would believe this, but time and time again, you know, talking with people, you know, we talk with so many people that are running these massive companies, and how do people stand out to you? You know, we've talked to everybody from David Meltzer to, you know, go down the list. And one of the consistent things that they say is, when I recommend a piece of advice and someone takes action on it, it stands out to me. That comes up time and time again. And on the flip side of that, how many times we've heard people sitting down in a position where people are always asking for advice, and they'll recommend a book and they'll say, I never hear from them again. The people that stand out are the people that say, I read the book. Thanks for recommending it. Here were my three takeaways. Or, you know, I went through your coaching program. There's so many people that buy coaching programs as like a hobby. Like, they just buy every funnel and book and different webinar that they can buy. But, you know, what are the things that you're learning? What are the things you're taking away? How are you applying it? Because coming back with that information for a coach, like, that means everything. Like, if someone's taking action on the advice you're giving, like, that is such a quick way. And it's also a really easy way to stand out, because most people won't do that. They won't do that very basic step of actually taking the action of doing it. They'll just consume and hold it, which doesn't help anybody. I don't understand the mentality behind it.
Eric, I'm smiling ear to ear, and I hate to say it's true, but it is. And yeah. I think that's a huge, huge point.
Especially in fitness, right? I mean, especially.
Especially in fitness. And then right. also to another layer, and you're so spot on with that, you know, observation. But the other layer, which I didn't actually hit my initial kind of response, was networking and building relationships is certainly, it's about extracting value, but you have to lead with value first. So, you know, certainly when I became a FitBody owner and I joined in his initial mastermind, then a later mastermind, I was getting a lot of knowledge, et cetera. I would take action. And when I would take action, I would better my business. But because my business was part of his network that he created, it would better his business as well, because I could be a case study. So, you know, after all these, you know, series of situations where I would take action, not only was I bettering myself and my business, but I was also bettering and adding more value to him. And really, at the end of the day, when you break down relationships and you break down networking, it's about what value can you offer? And then, of course, you will receive return, but the order is very important. So I think that also really constituted a big reason why, again, I was, you know, able to kind of climb my way up, and now I'm the CEO of the company.
Yeah. I'm curious, you mentioned you're both type A personalities, and that can be a good thing to have similarity in a business, but especially with type A personalities, especially hard, you know, hard sales or really driven people, sometimes they can just be bulls just crashing through stuff, dragging everyone behind them. And I'm kind of curious, like, for the two of you working so closely now, does that create any conflict? And what do you do to kind of mitigate that, those potential conflicts that can come up when both people have very set visions and a very get it done personality?
Oh, Eric, man, you are an incredible interviewer. That is an amazing question, which just really shows up in business. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So, you know, first and foremost, while we are very, very similar, and we actually went through the DISC profile and D, which is a personality testing famous for personality tests for your audience. And we linked up with a company called Take Flight Learning, which use or put bird analogies on each of the acronyms. So D stands for dominant, but that's actually the eagle characteristic or the animal they tie to it. Okay. So we're both Ds or eagles. And eagles sometimes can get combative for sure. So in many times, or at least sometimes in the boardrooms, if someone's like observing, you would think that, you know, we're fighting and we're going at it.
Right.
But really at the end of the day, that's our personality. But we also know that it's nothing personal. Our whole goal is to basically move the mission forward, support our franchisees, support our global clients. And there's value in healthy conflict. So healthy conflict creates friction, and actually friction creates growth and productivity and execution. So on one hand, it's unavoidable, just as long as you both understand that there's nothing personal about it. You both have the end game in mind. You might see things a little bit differently, but healthy conflict is okay. It's not only okay, but it's actually encouraged if you want to have a very successful organization. So I want to kind of start there. But then the secondary, you know, you have to know when to pick and choose your battles. And B is very, I mean, he also not only has a type A personality or an eagle as it pertains to Take Flight Learning's assessment and the DISC profile. At the end of the day, he is the founder of the company. He also has 10 years of business experience on me. So there's times where I just have clear insights. My feet are a little bit closer to the ground, and I know that this is the exact direction that we need to move forward on. And in that case, I'm charging hard and I'm really, you know, staking my case. But there's many times where I don't know for certain, or I'm looking, you know, for additional guidance or additional feedback, and also his mentorship and guidance. So many times I just have to take a step back and say, okay, B, at the end of the day, it's your company. You have the experience. Yeah. You're the mentor. Let's go. So, you know, it's a little trickier. It's not as black and white as it may seem, or at least would be ideal. But I think that secondary, you know, aspect really factors in quite heavily to the situation, being successful working together.
Sure. Well, before I move us into our rapid round here, I want to ask one more question, because there's a lot of people listening to the show who are starting businesses. They're hiring their first one or two employees. Maybe they're bringing on their first 10 or 11 employees. And very quickly, the vision of the person at the top, the person who has that type A drive and that clear vision for the company, realizes how quickly that game of telephone down to, you know, the marketing team and to the sales team can get diluted. That message can get messed up. You have, you know, 800 open, soon to open locations for FitBody Bootcamp. You and Bedros can sit down, come up with a clear path for the business. How do you keep that momentum going all throughout those different locations, all the different staff and team, sales, marketing, branding? How do you keep that consistent vision across the company?
Incredible question. I think first and foremost, it starts with vision and communication. And a heavy aspect of leadership from my perspective is to be able to communicate, and cast a vision. And I heard this actually at a franchisor conference I was invited to speak at about a month ago in Philadelphia. And a gentleman who worked under Tom Monahan for Domino's Pizza, who's an executive now, worked for under 30 years, had said that one of the things he learned from Tom was the fact that when you are in a CEO position, you will never believe how many times you actually have to repeat yourself. So repetition is the mother of skill. Repetition is extremely important in communication and leading an effort towards a vision. So I think that's really, really, you know, important to start off from. And then secondarily, this is more of a tool and a takeaway, especially for your audience. And even if you're just starting, there's a book called Traction by Gino Wickman. And Gino Wickman created what's called EOS, or Entrepreneur Operating System. So that EOS system is the framework that we actually operate our business on. And it wasn't always this way. When I joined the franchise headquarters in 2018, it took us about 6 months before we started implementing EOS, and we have an EOS implementer. But the tools, the resources, the accountability, the structure of the EOS system has exponentially helped our business from an organizational perspective. And then you compound that with the visionary characteristics and important necessity to lead with communication and repetition. And that's really been the formula for our success.
Yeah, we've just implemented EOS with our company Guestio, and it is, it's not an exaggeration to say it's life-changing. It changed everything with how we communicate, the way we conduct meetings. Like, it's amazing, and it's been a huge help with keeping that vision at the forefront, because you start eliminating things really quickly. Like, that's not important. That's not a rock we need to focus on 100%. Right now.
100%.
I'm going to move us here into our rapid round. I got to ask you the question we ask everybody. This is the Build Your Network podcast. Do you believe that who you know or what you know is more important, and why?
Both are incredibly important, but I would say who you know is more important, at least start, because networking is everything. And you can also learn the what from the who, because at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's actually where we learn the most things through other people. So I would first start saying the who, but of course you need to learn the what in the process as well.
Right. Yeah. Whenever somebody says it's the what you know, my first instinctual question is, okay, who taught you what you know? We always end up back to the who. Let's move here into the random round. What profession other than your own do you think it would be fun to attempt?
Kind of a loaded question. It can maybe have a bit of a generic or a broad answer, but I'm a firm believer in swimming with the current instead of away from the current. And that's when success and wealth happen. So technology is not going away anytime soon. So I would say if I was to have to shift gears from Fit Body Bootcamp at some point for whatever reason, I would explore the technology route, but within my skill set of leadership and salesmanship and persuasion.
Gotcha. If you could sit on a park bench with anybody past or present and talk to them for an hour, who would it be and why?
Ooh, no brainer, Elon Musk. This guy is my hero, and he's very controversial. And I look at it from the realm of, I'm a hard charging free market capitalist, and my political views align with that. The one caveat is I am a little worried, not a little, I am worried about global warming and the fact that Elon Musk has been able to take massive action against that with Tesla. And then just the tip of the spear, because not only one, is that a huge social human cause, but also two, just, you know, his business acumen, his visionary skill sets, the guy is just one of the, probably one of the smartest men on the planet. And he's an incredible visionary and marketer, all kind of wrapped up into this incredible world-class entrepreneur. By far, I would love to get bend this gentleman's ear for an hour.
Awesome. How do you like to learn best? Is it books, blogs, podcasts? What's your favorite way to consume information?
Video podcasts would be my go-to, like on YouTube, but so when I'm at home, et cetera. So visual learning is very valuable to me. But then on my commute to work, which isn't too bad, about 20 minutes, I always have an Audible in, so a podcast, digesting material from an audio perspective.
Gotcha. Give me a glimpse of your morning routine.
I read this quote, I think it's by Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin, and I read this 20 years ago, I was in college, but it went something along the lines of, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And for your audience there, holy smokes, that's been a game changer for me far before I had any success, far before I was wealthy, when I was literally donating blood plasma, when I could barely scrape two nickels together. So I looked at that quote and I was like, wow, I'm going to take action against that. So I'm up early, about by 4:15 at the absolute latest every day. I'm getting a workout in at least a half an hour between circuit training, between my boot camps, between lifting weights and or yoga, which I did today on Wednesdays. So always start with a win. And as we talked about earlier today, a body in motion stays in motion, or to your point, a buyer in motion stays in motion, either way you look at it. And that really kind of gets the start of the day. I'm in at the office by 6:15 at the absolute latest. And I have a solid an hour and 45 minutes or upwards of 2 hours before my team comes in. So I basically have my GSD time, or getting shit done time. And that way I can just basically stack some wins, get the things I need to be, done out of the way. Because when 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock comes in and meetings start happening, then basically it's a crapshoot. So I need to focus on me first. And that really sets up my day.
Yeah. I used to always say, like, I'm not a morning person. And the last month or so now, which for me, I used to be total freelancer. So I would work at night, like at 6 p.m. I'd start working and work till early in the morning, and then just do it again the next day. And, now with a daughter and a wife and, other things I'm working on, working with other people, that just isn't realistic. And I started getting up from right around five or six in the morning, which is not near as early as you're getting up, and, going out. And it totally, again, it's one of those things, like, I always heard that quote and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like something a morning person would say. That's super annoying. But it really is having all of those wins before other people are even waking up. And especially when you're working with clients or working with other team members, being able to know, like, oh, it's 10 a.m. and I've already crushed my day. Like, if I stop now, I'd have a normal full day. Like, that's huge. And it gives you so much momentum going into the rest of the day. So I definitely totally second
and
that.
And I think for me too, it's interesting. I'm going to humble myself a little bit. I would definitely consider myself ambitious and driven, but I also wouldn't consider myself the sharpest tool in the shed. I mean, I'm not a dumb guy, but I'm also not scoring like on the Richter charts of IQ.
Right.
So I just look at it like this: I will outwork my competition. And if I can basically get, to your point, so much done by 10 o'clock, I mean, then I continue on that frame within, 1 week, I can do with what most people do in a week and a half or 2 weeks. And if I just continue that momentum, that's actually been the biggest separator in my success.
Yeah. When you're building momentum, what's your go-to pump up song? What's the song you blast to get yourself in that space?
Oh, good. Great question. I'm not a huge music guy, but I enjoy music just like the average person. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to give you a song, specific song, but two artists really just get my blood going, which is Swedish House Mafia. So I like some electronic music, but I also like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, probably my favorite band of all time. So either of those two, if I really need to kind of get going, are my two go-tos.
Gotcha. What's something that you're not very good at?
Patience and details. I need to continue to get better, but I've also realized that I need to also surround myself with people who are patient and really good at the details, because at the end of the day, even though I need to continue to get better at that, I'm probably not going to be better than my VP, as an example, or my director of operations. So I'm going to leave the details to them, and I'm going to focus on my zone of genius, which is typically the vision, persuasion, putting deals together, negotiation to basically push our brand forward.
Gotcha. Last question. Where is the best place for people to connect with you online?
Absolutely. It would be my social media handles and my website, which is realbrycehenson.com, or the social media handles are Real Bryce Henson, and not to be confused with Fake Bryce Henson. So Real Bryce Henson, you can find me.com or any of the social channels is the best way to connect with me.
Awesome. Bryce, thanks so much for being a great guest, and thank you for giving so much value to our audience. I really appreciate it.
Eric, the pleasure is mine, and I hope I served you and your team really well, and would love to get back on at some point.
Awesome. Sounds good.
That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Travis and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to travischappell.com/group to join his free Facebook group, Podcast to Profit. Travis will see you there. And remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual, We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.